May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There was a little girl who was once outside playing with her friend, and they were talking, and she said to her friend, "I never want to have kids when I grow up. They take 9 months to download." Well, Psalm 127 appears in our appointed lessons for this Sunday, both to remind us and to encourage us. It reminds us that anything that we try to do without God is pointless, and it also encourages us with the hope of natural progeny, to be sure, but also spiritual progeny as well. Yet within the context of our other lessons, Ruth's bearing one of King David's forefathers in our Old Testament lesson, the fulfilled promise of Christ being both our great high priest and our sacrifice for sin in the letter to the Hebrews, and in Jesus' teachings both against seeking prominence as well as having favor for being generous to God. Well, it at first seems pretty hard to see just exactly how Psalm 127 fits in with these disparate texts. How exactly does this psalm set us up to appreciate these different passages and what they have to offer? Well, it helps that Psalm 127 itself is a pretty straightforward one. It has two main sections. The first section notes that without God's direction, protection, and provision, all of our earthly plans will fail. We cannot build something that will last without Spirit-inspired blueprints. We cannot rest easy at all unless we are under the watchful eye of our Heavenly Father. And no amount of hard work will bring abundance unless we are turning to our Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost to provide for all of our needs according to His riches in glory. We need the Lord at the center of all of our earthly endeavors to experience anything resembling success, however we might define it. The second section rejoices over the gift of children. Children were considered a sign of both wealth and God's favor back when this psalm was written. The heritage or legacy that we leave behind in our physical progeny was something that was highly esteemed. However, today, for various reasons, some by choice or some by chance, many couples are childless. But the psalmist's effervescent praise over how wonderful having kids is should not be an indication of some divine curse for couples that don't have children. Nor should we denigrate those who choose not to have children. God has different blessings for different people. Besides, taking the kingdom of God into perspective, having a spiritual heritage is comparatively far more important. There are plenty of parents who are raising a generation for the devil through their abusive actions and through the neglect of their children's emotional, spiritual, and physical needs. But there are plenty of single people and couples without kids who are scattering the seeds of Christ's love far and wide, leaving a heavenly impact that will last. The best of all possible worlds, perhaps, is to have natural children with whom you can share your faith and love for Jesus with them. I hope that those of you who have kids or grandkids are still taking advantage of these amazing opportunities, not just to leave those who will carry your family name or your grandma's favorite holiday recipes, but to leave your faith and your love for the next generation to enjoy. So Psalm 127 seems at first glance then like it has two different themes being played by two different marching bands at the same time in the same parade. Relying on God with one band and then thanking God for kids being played by the other. But they fit together if we understand one word at the beginning of this psalm in the broader sense. If we think of the word house as household. We see something similar in 1 Peter's letter in chapter 2, where God builds a spiritual house out of living stones, a temple made of people. But we are also part of a whole new nation, God's own family. Our Father is in the business of expanding His divine family to include more than just His only begotten Son. So, far from the individualistic way that some people think of their spirituality, whether we're talking about people having a strictly personal relationship with God or cobbling together some DIY spirituality, spiritual but not religious, search for meaning in your solitary life, God challenges us to be part of His church. Yes, we need to own our faith personally, and we need to take responsibility for our own lives, but we do so within the context of a community that supports us and loves us and sharpens us and even occasionally confronts us when we're straying or way off the mark. Otherwise, we're missing out on the fact that God calls us to be a gathered people, bound by the blood of Christ and the waters of baptism. He never intended us for us to do life without one another. So, when we think of this communal aspect of our faith, we begin to see how our psalm fits in with our other readings. How God provided for a Gentile outsider and her Jewish mother-in-law to set the stage for David and God's messianic promises generations before they even came to pass. How our Lord Jesus Christ decisively deals with sin and death on the cross, being both our great high priest and our atoning sacrifice. How the Spirit of the living God inspired a poor widow to literally give up her last dime as a testimony of her gratitude and trust in God. Something that inspired Jesus so much that He commended it to us, memorializing her gift for generations to come. Our psalm prepares our hearts to appreciate the way God is building His church in these other lessons. Psalm 127 also helps us appreciate how God intricately winds the seemingly disparate moving parts of people's lives into a cohesive testimony that points to God's plan and our need to trust Him with its implementation. So, we find ourselves literally at starvation's door, like Ruth and Naomi did. We can rely on the God who doesn't just build something good in our lives for it to go to vain. If we are worried over the sins that so easily beset us, we can remember that Jesus is our great high priest of the once-for-all sacrifice that makes us genuine children of God. If we're pinching our pennies in order to make a lavish offering to God, we can rest easy in the hands of the Holy Spirit who makes what seems like a measly offering in the world's eyes into the talk of the town for generations of faithful afterwards. God has a good plan for His spiritual household. So we need to be attentive to what that plan is, trusting He will protect the good work that He's begun, and reliant on His divine, often miraculous means to provide for it to come to pass. And we should make the most of every chance that we have to spread the good seed of the gospel anywhere and everywhere. Because then we'll see the good heritage of spiritual progeny that the Lord has in store for His people. But if we decide to tinker with our own plans and expect God to just bless them, they'll fail. We shouldn't expect God's protective or providing hand for merely human endeavors. Nor should we expect God to bring spiritual children through the doors of our church if we're negligent in sharing the gospel with our own natural children, or if we're timid in spreading the good news in both word and deed in our own neighborhoods. Our intentions need to be aligned with God's intentions. And the more that they are, the more faithful we'll discover our loving Lord is. This morning, I hope you find yourself reminded and encouraged, nudged to rely on this God who sets all of His household in order. And I pray that you find our God's plan so good that you'll have no problem trusting Him to make it come to pass, and that you'll do your part to bring many spiritual children into His household as He makes it possible. That way, you can be encouraged as you see just how faithful the God of our salvation truly is. Let us pray. O God of all the nations of the earth, remember the multitudes who have been created in your image, but have not known the redeeming work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And grant that by the prayers and labors of your holy church, they may be brought to know and worship you as you have been revealed in your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.